First, I wanted to read a couple of paragraphs here from this little blue book. It says, "The Bible Tells Me So." And it's the chapter on, it's called, "You Are Righteous Now." And I'm glad he didn't say, "Are you righteous now?" Because we are righteous. So anyway, here we go. Just a few paragraphs. "Many born-again believers are spiritually defeated in this life because of sin consciousness. They have been saved, but Satan comes to their minds and tells them they are not good enough for salvation because of the many years they lived in sin. This spiritual antagonism and defeat comes when a person does not realize what has been given to him by," any guesses? "Jesus Christ. When a person becomes a Christian, he is legally made righteous in Christ. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the God-given justification whereby a person stands in the presence of God without any consciousness of sin, guilt, or shortcomings." And then he has a little star here, Romans 8:33. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifieth?" Righteousness is something God imparts. It is something God gave to you when you were born again, when you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed God raised him from the dead. And you know where we got that from, right? Romans 10:9-10. "Even though believers receive righteousness when they are born again, many people, for lack of teaching, still think that they are unworthy to receive the goodness of God. This satanic belief keeps driving deeper and deeper into their subconscious minds. If my being worthy of God depended on my own strength, I would be a great failure. I know that I am weak in myself, and I know that I am unworthy in myself, but Christ has made me worthy. So no matter how I feel or what my feeble mind tells me, I am strong in him and I am worthy. Ever since man was created, he has tried to work out his own righteousness and tried to do the kind of work which would make himself look good in the sight of God. The basic cry of the heart of man is to be righteous before God. So many Christians do all kinds of work to obtain righteousness, such as confessing their sins, teaching Sunday school." Has anybody ever taught Sunday school here? No. "Classes, and keeping the Ten Commandments. Yet these good works do not make a person righteous. Righteousness is obtained from God through the faith of Jesus Christ." Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, believing. Your tears, your toil, and all your prayers, your good works will avail nothing. Righteousness is not by the cross that you bear, but by the cross that Jesus Christ bore for you. The righteousness of God is given to every believer, not of works, but by God's grace, which is divine favor." Keep going, Donnie. "For he hath made him," 2 Corinthians 5:21, "for he hath made him," Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, took our sin upon himself, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Everything Adam lost in the fall, Jesus Christ regained for the believer when he died upon the cross. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. Today, there is no longer a question of the sin problem. The sin problem was settled in Jesus Christ. What remains is the sinner's problem. A sinner, when he accepts Jesus Christ as Lord, must renew his mind to believe the word that he is righteous. And as a son of God, he will no longer worry, fear, or feel unworthy. He will simply have confidence that he is worthy through Christ Jesus. Many denominations have erroneously taught that a person can be righteous one minute and unrighteous the next. And if that person does not become righteous again before his death, he will miss heaven and end up in hell. This is not true. When God made us righteous in Christ Jesus over 1900 years ago, that's more now, we had nothing to do with it. When the Spirit of God in Christ is born within us, we are at that moment and forevermore righteous. We receive the nature of God, which makes us righteous, right then and there. So, that's a little bit on righteousness, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. And, you know, what God had him do for us, it's pretty awesome. So, we're going to go through a few verses here. You can turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse... we can read 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be what?
Thankful.
And then it says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that is, it says, let. And that let, I translated as, in my own head, don't get talked out of our righteousness. Don't let the, like all those things that Dr. World said in that part of that chapter, don't let that satanic belief get grip on you, because we have the word of Christ. We have to let that word of Christ dwell in there. And it's the word concerning Christ. And I thought about that too in those wonderful Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's so many things in there that Christ did, the things he accomplished, that we can live a lifetime just reading those. But then, you know, of course, God gives us so much more. So let that word of Christ concerning Christ dwell in us, inhabit us, instead of these, you know, like he said in the chapter, those satanic beliefs, because that's where they come from. Anything that goes against God is devilish. It's not a good thing to put in our minds. And then he says to let it dwell in us what? Richly, copiously, in large quantities, abundantly. So we want to put abundance of the word in our heads so that we can get rid of those other beliefs. And then I love this too. It says here, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we are to help each other with God's word. And the only way we can do that is if we're getting filled with God's word. And we're letting it dwell in our hearts richly instead of the things of the world. And then I love that admonishing is to put in mind, to caution each other if other... You know, if we're having trouble with the things, put God's word in our minds. We are to caution each other to put God's word in our minds, because that's the thing that's going to help us the most. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says... Again, let. Oh, sorry, no. I see your papers ruffling. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So that let this mind is to set your affection in a godly direction. So you got to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, if anyone could have, he could have made himself in reputation. He could have boasted and did all these, you know, highly haughty things, highly haughty things and boasted about himself, but he did not. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And what does a servant do? It helps. It helps people. And that's what we ought to do for each other. Help each other in God's word. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then it says, because he humbled himself, wherefore God did highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, the highest position, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So that great powerful name of Jesus, things are supposed to bow. Every knee should bow. And then he covers every aspect of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And the things of the earth are not good. A lot of things of the earth are not good. That's where you have your sin, your sickness, your devilishness. But that all those things are supposed to bow to us because we have Christ in us. Every knee, everywhere, things in and under, he's got it all covered. And we get to believe this stuff. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of whose mighty power? His mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. There he is again, the exalted Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things through the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So are we full? We are full. And we've got everything it takes to live this wonderful, abundant, more than abundant life that God promised us. We're in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. There's another thing we have because of our wonderful brother. Ephesians 4, in verse 7, it says, but unto every one is of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. He led captivity. He gave us grace, which is wonderful, right? But he led captivity captive. He took captive those who captivate. So if we're believing God and we're doing the things of God, can we be captivated? No, he led that captivity captive. We don't have to be subject to the things of this devilish world. You can go to John, Book of John, chapter 1. And he did get that from that captivity captive is in, if you ever want to read it, it's in Psalm 68:18. Yeah. On your own time, you know. In John chapter 1. If I can get there. John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 15. 15 says, where is it? John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. So not just grace, but grace for grace. Double grace, triple grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So Jesus Christ came to give us grace upon grace, came to give us lots of grace, and then not only that, he declared God. He made, showed people what God is really like. He's not a God that takes away from people. He's not a God that punishes people, but he's a God that loves people and takes care of them, takes care of us. And you can turn to John again. Oh, we're here. Turn to chapter 10. John 10, and we remember this verse from the wonderful PFL class. John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Now those are not good things, right? Steal means to filch. It means, filch means to steal in a casual way, like kind of subtle, but you're getting stolen from. You don't really realize it, but you are getting stolen from. To kill means to slaughter for any purpose, which is not a good thing. And to destroy means to perish, suffer death in an untimely way. So it's all these things that the thief came that we don't want to take part of. We don't want it to be a part of our lives. But it says, "I, Jesus Christ, am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And that's what we want. And that's what we have. We want more abundantly means to super abundant, superior, excessive, beyond measure. And that's the life we have because of Christ and because we believe it. In Romans 3, Romans 3, in verse 20, we're going to start in 20 till 26. It says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what?
Faith,
believing Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a payment through faith, believing in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins, the forgiveness, the demolish of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." So what are we to do? Believe. Believe in what Jesus Christ did, what he accomplished, what God had him do for us, because he loves us. In Rome, we'll go to verse 14. Wait. Yeah, 14.
Chapter 14.
Wait a minute. Where am I? Romans. No, Romans 5:1. Sorry. Romans 5:1. Okay. So there's another thing. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what?
Peace
with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another thing that we got because of our wonderful brother. And that peace is prosperity, quietness, set at one with him, not divided. So we're at peace with God and our wonderful brother Jesus Christ. And there's nothing between us. There's nothing between us that can keep us from him. As long as we keep looking to that peace, to that things that he accomplished. And we are set at one with him. In Romans 5. Oh, we're here. Sorry, verse 14. It says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if though the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So because of one man, we got in a really bad mess that seemed like it was couldn't be dealt with or taken care of. But because of a really great other one man, it got all taken care of in a great way. Verse 17, for if by one's man offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, remember we got grace for grace because of Christ, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ our Lord. Those are the great, wonderful things that he accomplished for us. Go to Romans 6. Verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin got us death. Jesus Christ got us what? Eternal life. We're going to live forever with him and our wonderful God. In First Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 57. It says here, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a wonderful thing we can be thankful for, is that he gave us the victory through Christ, the conquest, the triumph. Because of Christ, we are triumphant. And then it says, therefore, verse 58, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. And that steadfast means settled. And I thought about, you know, what Perry shared last week, the great rest, the great settlement we can have with all these great things God's done for us through his Son. Be ye steadfast, settled, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. All of this is not in vain. He's given us all these great things. And then here we're going to close in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 8. It says here to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Those are all things of the world. And God's telling us to beware, to look out, take heed of these things after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So we're complete in the one thing that can take care of all of these nasty things that the world directs us, the world makes it so easy for us to have. We are complete in the guy that combats all of that stuff in a big way.